JTS. Yeah. Just in time sports.
Life is good. Life is good.
Look. This is just a town sports. Come and get your weekly takes. His opinion from the heart. He can never show you fake. If you winning or you losing, he gon' tell it to you straight. How we talking basketball without a Jordan Brown debate? If you got the hottest takes, you better come and make your case. If you win a couple games, he might even show you grace. JTS on every platform, we growing adaptation. Numbers going off the charts, we create the separation. Louisiana till I die, it's where I'm from, I can't replace it. So people minds are obtuse, but I like to be adjacent. Giving my opinion like I'm Nick Ryder, I'm Jason. ESPN, better watch out, cause I'm coming for the spaceship. We even tweeting on Twitter, you can meet us in the spaces. Highlight clips of sports news, yeah, you gotta embrace it. We never had it easy, we just came from the pavement. I might be controversial, but I like to make my statement. This is just a time sports, come and get your weekly takes. His opinion from the heart, he can never show you fake.
He can never show you fake.
Look, if you winning or you losing, he gon' tell it to you straight.
He gon' tell it to you, he gon' tell it to you, he gon' tell it.
This is just in time sports, come and get your weekly takes.
Come and get it.
He gon' tell it to you straight, to you straight.
Welcome into the show. This is your host and owner, Justin Jackson. As you guys can tell, the audio and the intro song from B-Roy is in front of the intro, which is something that I'm doing for this episode specifically because it is a Game 4 reaction episode. I'm actually recording this and the game's still going on because if you guys watched it at all, you guys will know that the Mavericks absolutely crushed the Boston Celtics tonight. Historic levels of dominance and multiple levels. Again, absolutely crushed the Boston Celtics. Huge win for the Mavericks to stave off elimination. Unfortunately, you guys, I know some of you guys were looking for the Game 3 pod. I posted it on my social medias that the pod wouldn't happen. Scheduling conflict. I had a church event Wednesday night. I was only able to watch about a little over a quarter. It seems I watched the most important part of the game because that was the part where the Celtics were up 21 and then the Mavericks stormed to cut it down to one. I think the announcement says tonight, I thought it was three, but cut it down to one. And then Dallas could never get in front. Luka fouls out with like 4 minutes left in the game. And ultimately, the Boston Celtics are winning. Now, going into tonight, backing up, a lot of discourse was made, and I've seen it in a part of the game I watched, so I can comment on it. A lot of discourse was made and Brian Windhorst ethering Luka. JJ Redick talked about him. People on social media, First Take, Undisputed. I mean, first things first. It was popular. Like, the thing was, we're going to denigrate Luka Doncic. And I've noticed this with media. I'm in the media, so I've done it occasionally. I will admit to it. But I've noticed it's a thing in media. Whenever they build up a star, in mainstream media, I'm talking about mainstream media. Whenever they build up a star, when that star does not deliver to the way that they anticipate them doing it, everything that they glossed over during the wins becomes an issue in the losses. And so one of the people who do this more now, and I don't know if it's the ESPN influence, if it's Stephen A's influence, Shannon Sharp, but Shannon Sharp, he was on First Thing, he was on Undisputed rather, spoke about how you never accept anything in a win you wouldn't in a loss. It was a common phrase he said that one of his coaches told him, I believe Shanahan told him, Mike Shanahan told him, you never accept anything in a win that you wouldn't in a loss. So Luka's complaining to the officials, Luka's piss poor defense, Luka's sometimes horrible shot making, bad body language, all of that got glossed over for months. Because when Dallas traded for PJ Washington and made the move for Daniel Gafford, they got Grant Williams out, and etc., Luka still did the bad body language, although not as much. He still didn't play a whole lot of defense. He still whatever, but they were winning, so it got glossed over. It became, look at Luka's offense. Look at Kyrie's offense. Look at how those two can carry the offense while the Dallas team plays defense. Right? And so a lot of this stuff that Luka's had a bad habit of since he got in the NBA was glossed over for, like I said, 2.5-3 months. Dallas was on this rampage through basketball. They finished the regular season 25-5. They beat the Clippers in 6, I want to say, and then they beat the Timberwolves in 5. And so, you know, Dallas ripping through the West, mind you. Now, there's another series that I'm forgetting, but they're ripping through the West, right? And so, but again, Luka still is Luka. And so you get to the finals, it's a problem. And specifically, it's like it was this buildup. It was reports coming out about how teammates have asked him not complain to the refs and show up in better shape. And there's, like I said, Brian Windhorst went on an ether about how nobody in the Dallas facility can get Luka to play defense and not complain and show up to the refs. I mean, not complain to the refs and show up in shape. And hopefully this summer, after the series is over, Luka can find somebody outside the building to get through. Like, it was purposeful. It was malicious. And the media is the media. I expect them to do nothing less. But it was one of those things where I understood the players. Like, the players come out and they do a lot of their own media. I got it. I understood it. Why they say they don't trust people in the media, right? Guys support you, guys rock with you. And then the second that it's popular to be against you, they're against you openly. Like I say, I haven't seen Brian Windhorst that at somebody probably since the Comic Sans letter from Dan Gilbert about LeBron. That was, like I said, it felt not Windhorst by himself, but with Windhorst and then ESPN and then First Take and then Undisputed. It felt like a malicious attack on Luka Doncic. Apparently the Mavericks are up 48 now. Tim Hardaway Jr. is knocking down shots, which is probably the last thing the Celtics need is another shooter. They're up 48, which is the largest finals lead in the last 50 years, per Stats and Info, with Stats Williams. So, but that's what's going on right now in game 4. But back to what happened at the game 3, it was this, like I said, it was 3-0 has never been come back from ever. And so everybody immediately started writing the obituary for the Mavericks, and it went into slander season. And so I didn't like it because I said if Luka doesn't foul out, the Mavericks win game 3. And there's none of that happens in the last 48 hours. None of it happens in the last 48 hours, right? And then stars started coming out. Yes, Luka has one of the highest blow by rates in the history of basketball. It's on like, I think game one was at like 52-53%. I think games 2 and 3 were both north or right around 60 or north of 60% in terms of blow-by rates, which means 6 out of 10 times Luka was the primary defender, he got blown by off the dribble. That's insane. Now, that's insane for a bad high school defender in high school basketball. So it's ridiculous for an NBA player. However, their defensive rating was like 107, which would have been the best defense in the league this year by a couple of points per 100. I mean, that is absolutely... it's kind of conflicting stats. Sorry, I got distracted. I'm still keeping my eye on the game. But I got distracted. But that's a conflicting situation. Yes, Luka's getting blown by, but they're having an amazing defense. If you look at the Boston Celtics, they have not had a big offensive game in this series. Even the game that I called their offensive barrage, I don't think they went north of 110. Was considering for the greatest offense in the history of basketball, not being north of 110 is pretty saying something. Let me actually pull up the numbers. So in the big game, the huge game they had with the big giant fourth quarter lead, 107, then they went 105, then they went 106. Right now they're at 77. with about 3 minutes left in the game. So they had, so even when they've gone huge in terms of 3-point numbers, like they had like 17 or 18 in game one, they never cracked 110. So defensively, Dallas has been right there. Offensively, they just haven't been there. This is the first night where the Dallas offense came to play. So I just didn't like the discourse finishing up on game three before I shifted into game four. I just didn't like the discourse surrounding Luka Doncic. Like I said, it felt purposeful. It felt malicious. It felt coordinated. It felt like the executive at Fox called the executive at ESPN and was like, we're going to bash Luka today. And I could say it was popular to hate Luka. It was pretty popular. You can see it on social media. A lot of social media fed into the narratives of Luka being a cone, of him being a poor defense. People started calling by his weight again. Like, it was bad. And Luka, even post-game, talked about how it was a physical game, and he went at the officials again. And that didn't help at all. As far as Windhorse's thing, it's like, you played a bad game. Defensively, you played a horrible game. Defensively, you played a bad game foul wise, and the first thing out of your mouth was to blame the officials. So that didn't help at all. But then it came down to the next day. He sits down. I want to say Malik Andrews, but it might not have been. He sits down. He takes accountability. It's one of those, like, his emotional answer was one answer, and he thought about it. Probably spoke to the Mavs organization, what they want, what they want to put out. And he looked contrite. He looked like he truly was like, I can't do this anymore, and win. So every superstar kind of has a grow up, wake up moment. I can kind of go through all of them for everybody, but I won't. But every superstar, for the most part, who wins at a high level has a grow up, wake up moment. You may not see it. You may not recognize it as bam, but as every great player, they'll tell you what the moment is. And so that was, to me, that was Luka's. That was Luka's grow up, wake up moment. And it may not matter in this series. Boston may ultimately win the title anyway. But it was a moment where, okay, if I'm going to be successful, I have to do it like this. Occasional emotional outbursts are expected. He's human. But he was, from what I saw, he was riding the officials. He was complaining about everything. If he got touched in the lane, he missed. He was looking for the foul. Hell, even when he made it, he was looking for the foul. The only time he really wasn't was when he was, when they were charging. They made that big 20-2 run, and Jay Kidd called a timeout. And I immediately texted my friend in the group chat. Texted my friends in the group chat. Horrible timeout, Jay Kidd. Like, immediately, because you're running, Boston's scrambling. You got him in a transition. Yeah, you had a couple of rush possessions, but they rushed right back. It wasn't like you had a couple of rush possessions and then Boston swung three and then swung maybe open three, but they missed it. And then you still scrambling. And then you caught time. I'm like, whoa, before they stretch it back out, let's calm it down. Both sides were scrambling. Your scramble looked a lot better than their scramble. He called a timeout, killed the momentum. I think Boston ends up hitting a shot, and then Luka fouls out. Like, it was, like, right behind each other. Kind of one of those games where you can't blame Jay Kidd totally, but that feels like the Jay Kidd, why did you do it game? So that definitely gave off that feeling game four. Game three, rather. Kudos to the Boston Celtics taking a 3-0 lead. I spoke about the discourse already. Here it comes to game four. It enters game four. And I'm sitting here going, man, you know, season's on the line. Jay Kidd was adamant, we're not losing. I showed the pregame, said, we're not losing to Boston tonight. Said, we're not. We're just not going to lose this game tonight. You know, and Joe Mazzulla was trying to keep his guys into it. They're always locked into him. But what I always say about teams in this situation, there's one team playing desperate, and there's one team playing hopeful. There's one team playing like they're starving, and there's one team trying to finish off their meal. Now, you could break the starving team, but you got to break them. It's much easier, like Jay Kidd said, there's moments in this game we're going to have to hold on to the rope. Like, Boston makes a run, and you're going to have to make it up in your mind, is my season over, or do I at least want to fight? And he called it holding on to the rope. It's easier to let that team that's up 3-0 to let go of the rope. You know what? We're up 3-0. They hit 7 threes in the first quarter. They're up 15 in the first. We're going to fight to halftime. If it's looking bleak at halftime, whatever. We'll go home and end it. But at the same time, that team that's up could break the team that's down, because they're like, look, we're down 0-3. If they come out like that first quarter, that 37-15 first quarter, you let go of the rope. The role players' heads drop. Maybe the stars don't, but the role players' heads drop. And the season's over. So anyway, they come out to it, and it's a competitive game early. Both teams, I think, missed their first couple of shots. Kyrie gets on the board, gets us started. And then Celtics come back. Boom, boom. I think Brown gets a layup, and Tatum hits a three. And so now we're starting to move. We're starting to run. We're playing basketball. Luka's hot. Luka's on fire. Early in the game, though, there was a couple of times I thought Luka got bumped, right? And he didn't say anything. And that was huge. He didn't look at the refs. He didn't look at anybody around him. He didn't look at anything. He went back down the court, played defense. There was also several moments Boston tried to switch Luka on the primary ball handler. Luka sat in the chair, slid his feet, forced bad shots. Huge moments. And it all happened like in the first 15, 16 minutes, where they were really trying to basically get a repeat of game three. We're going to force him to switch. We're going to bump him on offense. We're going to make him frustrated. Like, we're going to make him work. See if we can frustrate him. Once he's frustrated, he's out the game. And Luka stayed calm. Luka stayed composed. Luka actually picked that code files and raised his hand. Like, I fouled him. Like, huge, huge stuff for what they were trying to get accomplished. Huge for what they were trying to get done. And then the others showed up, man. The game has gone final now, 122-84. So I actually can pull up the stats. They actually secured the third largest victory in NBA Finals history, 38 points. But now I can pull up the numbers, since pretty much none of the starters played in the fourth. It was one of those nights. And remember how I spoke about Dallas had multiple ways to win? And I kind of said Boston used their main three already. Dallas hasn't. This was the Boston bad night. You know, I was like, oh, there's going to be a night where Boston's just awful. You know what I'm saying? Where Boston's just bad. Like, they're just not going to be productive. And it was a mix of Dallas was hot and Boston was bad. Jaylen Brown, 3 for 12, 10 points. By far his worst game. Jrue Holiday, 4 of 10, 10 points. Jason Tatum, 4 of 10, 15 points. Sam Hauser was actually the second leading scorer on the Celtics. He finished 5 of 7 with 14 points. But again, kind of big for him to see a couple shots go down, because he made 4 of his 6 threes. He's going to be somebody that, especially with Porzingis limited, they're going to have to go smaller a lot. He's going to have to make his shots. But here's what I want to look at. First of all, Luka Doncic, 12 of 26, 0 for 8 from 3. He still managed 29, 5, and 5. Kyrie Irving, 10 of 18. He was 1 for 6 from 3. He poured in 21. But when I look at Daniel Gafford, only played 10 minutes. Derrick Jones Jr. only played 17, even though he had a beautiful in-and-out crossover finish kind of scoop layup. PJ Washington only played 14 minutes. Tim Hardaway Jr. nails 5 threes. Now, again, the game is over when he nails these three. But Tim Hardaway Jr. had not made a three in the finals. He nailed 5 threes tonight. Helped him out big time. Derek Lively, huge. In 22 minutes, he had 11 points, 12 rebounds, including making a three of his own. Dante Exum nailed 2 threes. Dallas made 15 out of 37 threes, which is 40%. Boston made 14 of 41. So this is the first game they've outshot Boston from the three-point line. Field goal percentage, Dallas 50, Boston 36. I spoke about three-point line already. Dallas has made more free throws. So instead of better percentage, they're probably not gonna out percentage Boston, but they made more free throws. Remember how I spoke about there was always, I always said, man, Dallas should be in a better spot. Because I'm looking at their rebounding numbers. They won the boards tonight 52 to 31. And they won the turnover battle. They only gave up 9. They got 14. And Boston gave up 17 points with those turnovers. Dallas only gave up 9. Dallas also won the fast break points by 5. And they won in the paint 60 to 26. And that is something I don't think is going to be talked about enough. I don't know. I'm reacting pretty instantly. Like I said, the game just went final. That's huge. And they're going to talk about Luka's improved defense. And they're going to talk about Hope shot bad Boston shot. And they're going to talk about a lot of things. Dallas tonight realized to me that there was no 7'3" person in the paint. Like, oh, we can go to the rim. And they scored 60 paint points to Boston's 26. They kept Boston out of the paint. They slid their feet. They moved their feet. That has to be Boston's lowest paint point total in this series because Dallas slid their feet. There's not even really a reason to go step by step. The game was over in the third quarter. Boston pulled their starters with 4 minutes left in the third. It was over. Dallas followed suit right at the end of the third. They were done. Things I saw that was different. The energy level defensively from a Luka Doncic was different. Yes. What did I think what we saw, what the coverage was overblown? Absolutely. But he also played better defense tonight. His body language towards officials was much better tonight. Kyrie Irving continued his consistency tonight. Like I said, you got a Tim Hardaway Jr. He made 5 out of 7 threes. Yes, it was against the Boston Celtics backups. But he made them. He hadn't made them at all at any point in this series. The crowd was raucous. You got Derek Lively hit a three. His energy was insane. Daniel Gafford was insane. PJ Washington, his energy was all over the place. You had all these different things happen for you at one time, positively, if you're the Dallas Mavericks. If you're the Boston Celtics, you throw the tape away and we don't even watch it. But we're good. We burn it. We missed a lot of shots we in their minds they normally would make. They didn't get a lot of their open threes like normal. So that may be something we look at tape-wise, but they shouldn't watch the film more than 10-15 minutes and just get rid of it. You go home to Boston. You got a chance to close them out in Boston. A game 5 and raise banner 18. Celebrate banner 18 in Boston, which the celebration would be insane. For the Boston Celtics, first title since, 2009? 2008 or 2009 when they beat Kobe Bryant. That's the situation in game 4. You saw the Mavericks to me at their best. Locked down defensively. Luka Doncic not complaining, not bemoaning the refs, not annoying the refs. Just playing basketball. It's like Kyrie Irving was there. The defensive execution was insane. And also the referee, Scott Foster led crew, they called more fouls. Obviously, it's not the typical Scott Foster crew. It's kind of like an all-star lineup every game for the officials, but they were calling more fouls. But Dallas was also the more aggressive team, so they should have been calling more fouls. I think I had a problem with the officiating earlier in the series whenever Boston shot more threes and more free throws. And I kind of always and it's always a weird thing to me when a team shoots 10, 15 more threes than the other team and they also shoot 6-7 more free throws. How? Like, how is that possible? And so this game, the free throws matched the paint points, and Dallas outscored Boston by 34 paint points, and they still only shot like 7 more free throws. So the fouls was definitely, to me, called more fairly this game. Dallas is a more aggressive driving team. Boston drives to kick. Kyrie and Luka drives to me to score first, and if they get stuck, they kick to the corner or they swing it around, and plus the lobs and stuff like that. So they're a more aggressive at the rim scoring team to me, so they should have more free throws consistently every game, but Dallas also has to make them when they are given the opportunity. But there will be a game 5, and before we sign out, I say a quick show, it's a reaction show. Before I sign out, I want to talk to the Boston Celtics. I want to talk to the Celtics. I do. I want to talk to the Celtics. Boston, you better win game 5. And I spoke about this. Well, I didn't have a podcast after 2016, but I told my friends in 2016 about LeBron and that series. I said the Golden State Warriors better beat him in game 5. And I'm saying the same thing to the Boston Celtics. You better beat the Mavs in game 5. Because if you don't, you're opening up a can of worms I don't think you want to deal with. Justin, what do you mean? It's they're up 3-0. Ask the Celtics. last year, actually. Ask the Celtics. If you, the Celtics, they remember. They right up with Jrue Holiday was on that team, pretty much. They were up. They were down 3-0 to the Miami Heat. And they charged all the way back to make it a game 7. And then Tatum sprains his ankle on like the first or second play. And we never know. Boston keeps it semi-close for most of the game, but the game's over when Tatum sprains his ankle. And truly, we never know how it ends. But I remember saying in that series, Miami better get him in game 5, because they ain't the same situation. Boston stave off elimination at home, I believe. They go back to Miami. Maybe it's reverse. I think Miami was a lower seed. But Boston stave off elimination in game 4. It goes to game 5. And I'm like, you better get him in 5. And then Boston wins in 5. Now it gets dicey. I'm saying this. I'm saying that to the Boston Celtics. Hear me very clearly. Boston, the Celtics, Tatum, Brown, Mazzulla, Drew, Horford, Pritchard, whomever, Brad Stevens. Beat, if you want to have the NBA championship be as stress-free as possible, you win game 5. Because if you don't win game 5, now Dallas got you twice. See, this is the first road loss Boston's had in the playoffs. This is the first time Kyrie Irving's beaten the Boston Celtics since he left Boston. A lot of firsts happened tonight. This is the biggest lead in finals in the last 50 years. Third biggest win in the finals history. Like, this is, what is it, the Memorial Day Massacre or whatever it was that the Lakers happened to the Lakers. Veterans Day Massacre, something like that. You better win game 5. Because if you don't, let's say you don't get blown out again. Let's say it's close. Let's say Dallas wins 108-102. Make up free throws late. They win game 5. You then go back to Dallas for game 6. That is the official last Dallas basketball game besides the Wings for the rest of the year. If you're a Mavericks fan, that's the last basketball game for you. You can imagine the energy will be through the roof. And all the pressure is still on you if you're Boston. But now it's pressure and it's doubt because you've lost 2 games in a row. I don't see Luke and Kyrie losing in that environment. I really don't. Same thing I said about LeBron in 2016. I don't see LeBron and Kyrie losing at home. I just don't. I don't see Luka and Kyrie losing that game at home. Especially if they've gotten you 2 in a row. I think, it won't be like tonight, but they'll win decently comfortably. The shooters will come out to play. They'll win by 15. Then it goes to game 7 in Boston. And all the pressure is on the Celtics. The Mavs are playing with house money. We're not even supposed to be here. All the pressure on the Celtics. 110-2, you know what's coming. 110-2, 12-2. Mavericks run to go up 8 in the third quarter. The arena's stone quiet. And everybody on the Celtics is getting nervous. Because they're wondering, oh my God, how are we even here right now? But all that can be avoided, Boston, if you just take care of business in game 5. Now, I had the Mavericks in 6. Of course, my prediction is dead. But all of that could be avoided, Boston, if you just win game 5. Because if you don't, you're in for a much longer series than you should be in at this point. But kudos to the Dallas Mavericks for staving off elimination. They battled, they fought, and they succeeded in what their goals were, which again was to not get swept. So now we will have a game 5. Tonight's Friday, so they're off Saturday and Sunday, and they'll play game 5 in Boston on Monday in the TD Garden. And we will be, of course, recording a podcast after that game. Of course, we'll get back right on that. But hey, this is your host. I'd like you guys for rocking with me. Sorry, I'm gonna sign out a little too early. Thank you guys for rocking with me. Follow the social media handles at JTime Sports on all your favorite social medias: X, Instagram, Facebook, The Stunt, Threads, all of it. We're there. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Just in Time Sports Podcast. The link to the YouTube, can talk for a second, will be in the episode description for this podcast. And of course, like, rate, and subscribe, and also rate this podcast however you feel it, wherever you get your podcast, however you feel about it. If you think it's a 5-star, 5 stars are preferable. If you think I'm a 5-star podcast, man, give me 5 stars so they can be recommended to others so they can get the same knowledge and join the family, join the Just in Time Sports family, the same as you. But your truth is your truth. So if you think it's a 3-star, I disagree with you, but we think it's 3-star rated, so that we can move up the rankings. And so again, it's recommended, and so more people can again join the Just in Time Sports family when the same way that you have. But that is all I have for this evening. This is your host, Justin Jackson, signing out.